Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You can send us an email at comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. I'm Tim with Walker, and Steve Jordahl joins us now. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
How are you, sir?
It's a great day here in Mississippi. I'm having a good day, yeah.
You're saying it more like the locals now. Just slide right through it.
Right there.
Huh?
Yeah, for some reason, there's a couple of southernisms that I even took on before I got to Mississippi, and which borders Louisiana.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. I've been saying y'all for a long time. I don't know.
Well, that's how you know. That's the tag of a southerner when they start saying y'all.
The California boy. Now, you lived all over the country, so you've had to adapt to.
I lived in California, grew up there. I lived in Oregon when I was going to seminary. I lived in Denver or Colorado Springs for 15 years before I got here. And then growing up, I lived in Africa and France and Switzerland. Yeah, I've been around.
Now how is that?
My folks were missionaries.
Okay. Africa? What part of Africa?
Spent 5 years in Madagascar.
Wow, you're...
Yeah.
Well traveled and seen a lot of different cultures, right?
It's been a very interesting life. Give me a great perspective on a lot of stuff. Yeah, I think.
So, how would you rate the redneck culture?
You know, I haven't really seen redneck a whole lot. I mean, there are odd people in every locale. So, Colorado Springs certainly had its share. Had a up in Manitou Springs, which is up toward the mountains, going toward the mountains from Colorado Springs. It's kind of a hippie village, like the 60s, 70s hippies never quite left. And they're all up in Manitou Springs. There's a lot of stuff up there. Santa Cruz is the same way, growing up in California. So, yeah. It's
very diplomatic, Steve.
Well, home is what you make of it. You know, you can decide that you miss. I miss the beach. I miss the mountains. But man, it's really greener out here in Mississippi than it's been anywhere else I've ever lived, and I really enjoy it. It's pretty. It's gorgeous.
They don't call it the hospitality state for no reason.
That too.
All right, Steve, what's leading the news?
I am very, very concerned about this election coming up. In fact, Michael Anton in The American Mind wrote an essay. He's calling it a coming coup. And I want to give you five different data points as to what the Democrats are planning to do this November. Most of this comes from a meeting that they had with a bunch of Democrats and never-Trumpers who war-gamed out what November could have. And they had several different possibilities, one of which is Biden winning big, the other is a close election, and then one is Trump winning. But in none of the cases did they actually see this election going for Trump without having a rather violent end.
Let me stop you here for just a minute, because Walker's well read on this topic too, and you've studied it and read about it. That's why you're about to report on it and give us the lowdown. But I just wanted people to understand what you're about to talk about is not a novel, you know, a work of fiction. What you're about to talk about are things that are actually happening or have happened, Steve. That with names some people know, leading up to the election,
people Walker, I think you'd agree. People a year or more ago would have said that this is all conspiracy theory stuff.
Yes,
this
yes.
can't be possible. But listen to this. About a month ago or so, maybe a couple of weeks ago, Hillary Clinton publicly told Joe Biden that under no circumstances, none. Should he concede the election? Number two, we have what they're saying is that it's going to be a close vote and that the deciding votes will come in the mail days, maybe weeks after election night. So no matter what happens on election night, Trump could win by a huge margin on election night. Democrats and the media will say, no. We got to wait for the ballots to come in, and then they will be in the middle of harvesting those ballots with the mail-in ballots. We've already seen what shenanigans they can play with mail-in ballots. Number three, they have their media on their side. So whatever happens, you're not going to hear Trump victory that night. It's going to sow doubt in the American public. Number four, they are seriously talking about the military. And you, last hour, you had Sandy talking about how the Pentagon has gone left. Mm-hmm. People are talking about the military going in and forcibly removing President Trump. And they're saying that even if Donald Trump wins, these Democrat states are saying that they're pressuring them to send Democrat electors to the Electoral College, faithless electors. And right. Then finally, I want you to hear something that Kamala Harris said. They're going to keep the pandemic going through the election and beyond if they can. Cut nine.
I will say that I would not trust Donald Trump, and it would have to be a credible source of information
about a
that
vaccine.
Talks about the efficacy and the reliability of whatever he's talking about. I will not take his word for it. He wants us to inject bleach. I will not take his word.
She's not going to take any kind of a vaccine.
Okay, you're a liar, not you, Steve. That's a lie. He did not say. He did not say he wants people to inject bleach.
Yeah, well, the truth is a little fungible.
So right. We need to fact check. Fact check Kamala Harris right here. The president was talking about something. He was an unwise thing for him to say as president of the United States, but he was talking about something he had been discussing with a scientist or Dr.
Berkson
before a press conference.
Right.
How, if you could do this, maybe this would work. Wouldn't that be neat if it worked? He never said inject.
He said it would be similar to injecting something like, that kills bad bacteria. What he was basically talking about is what antibiotics do.
Right.
And it, you inject it and it kills bad bacteria.
So now she's turned this into, he said inject. You hear what she said there.
Right.
And she's the one saying she's not going to believe anything President Trump says.
Right.
Because he's the guy who said inject bleach, which is a lie. So you're saying I'm not going to trust the liar because I just lied about what he said.
Yeah, and she's saying I won't take the vaccine because basically it's a Trump vaccine. President Trump supports
That's
it.
That's what she said?
Yeah, his FDA is going to approve it, so therefore I'm not going to take it. Which, to that I say, to each your own. You don't have to take it. But Democrats are usually the ones of government intervention, government mandates on things like vaccines and others.
So wait a minute. She's saying she won't take, now whether you want to take a vaccine or not for this is, let's put that aside for just a moment, Steve. She's saying, Kamala Harris is saying that President Trump controls the vaccine, therefore she doesn't trust it. Is that what?
Those are the words she's saying. But behind that is the message that this pandemic is not going to be over before Election Day. We're still going to be in the throes of it. And by the way, it is President Trump's fault because he didn't deal with this the right way, they say.
Yeah.
And by the way, also, don't look for the violence in American cities to quell before the election either, because that also, according to them, is Trump's fault if they can plant all these seeds of the American mind. No matter what happens, the only way I can see this election going smoothly for President Trump is if he wins by such a large margin that none of their cheating counts or would be effective.
Right.
What cheating?
Just like, you're talking about like voter fraud.
The ballot harvesting, all of the stuff I just named.
Right. Specifically voter fraud.
Voter fraud
Well, you know, this rhetoric is rather dangerous from a respect for our institution standpoint, because it was not that long ago in 2015, 2016, where Hillary Clinton and others were asking President Trump, will you accept the results of the election?
Right.
Will you respect our democracy and the system we have in place, the Electoral College? And they were putting the pressure on him as if he was somehow the problem. And then now the roles have reversed, not to mention President Trump never really hinted at not accepting valid results. He said, we'll just have to see, which is the response of every candidate. And now it's the Democrats that are openly admitting that they're going to dispute the election results at all costs, no matter what.
Well, for Hillary Clinton to say to Joe Biden, you don't need to concede under any circumstances, that right there says it all, right?
Yeah.
It's war.
Right.
It's resistance. It's she will not accept. She says we do not need to accept the election results if they go against us.
Basically, yes. Yeah. And
did she put any caveats on that or any? I mean, that just sounds so.
No, she was pretty clear. She said under no circumstance should President Trump.
Concede?
In no circumstance should Biden concede the
election.
That
sounds like she knows what Steve's talking about.
Right. And I think Steve mentioned this morning in our meeting. These are the types of schemes that used to be hashed out behind closed doors, and then all of us right-wingers were suspecting of this type of activity and planning, but, oh, we could just never prove it. And so then we would get called conspiracy theorists. But now they're openly planning these types of shenanigans, if you want to call it that, out in the open. They're saying, we're going to dispute the election results at all costs, no matter what. There will be violence in the streets until we get a just result, which is a Biden victory.
To your point, Walker, I've asked Brent to put up this article that I was referencing. It's called The Coming Coup. And they say that this is on purpose, that the only way people will not flag this as a conspiracy theory is if it's not, it's out in the open. So they're making this in the open just so that it is known, and it doesn't qualify as a conspiracy theory if they're saying it right out front.
Yeah, and it's almost as if they're sending messages to the anarchists and the looters and the violent and the criminals in the streets that are burning down cities. It's almost as if they're sending these public signals that, hey, you know, we're going to need you guys to keep it up, to keep
Absolutely.
The unrest going.
Do you think the unrest and the rioting benefits the Democrats?
If they can blame it on Trump? That's what they're trying. I don't know that their thinking is sound. I think the American people aren't buying it, but it's a desperate Democrat party, and they don't seem to be able to read the tea leaves very well.
I think the Antifa BLM riots and protests and these pictures about BLM people going up to people at restaurants in these big cities and harassing them. You've seen these?
Yeah.
I don't think this helps the Democrats. I think it hurts the Democrats. But, again, we'll know a lot more on election night, won't we? We should know more. And we'll have to see what the results are. They're showing Biden up in every poll that I've seen, 5 to 10 points. Is that what you've seen?
Yeah. The real clear average is about what you just said.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll find out about polls because a lot of people say there's a hidden vote out there for President Trump of people who won't necessarily admit that to pollsters.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Who knows?
Right.
I think there is an element of truth to that, but is it an element that overcomes a 5 to 10 point deficit?
That's what I said on election night 2016, is these polling firms have lost all credibility when they really got it way wrong in 2016. But these are the same companies, same polls.
So you don't believe them either now?
I don't. I mean, they haven't built up enough credibility after the damage that they did to themselves in 2016 for me to go, yeah, that's a reputable polling firm. Because here's the 5 elections they got right. They just haven't reestablished that credibility yet. And it may not be their fault per se, meaning they're intentionally getting their polling wrong. It could be that there is this certain percentage of Trump voters that are just don't want to talk about it. They don't want
to
answer the pollster over the phone. And so that's skewing their results. That very well could be the case.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Steve?
I sent another article to Brent to put up. It's called Biden's Immigration Amnesty Could Lead to an Astronomical 77 Million migrant influx in the country. This is off his website. This is his policy. This is what he's running on. He wants to create a roadmap to citizenship for the nearly 11 million people who have been living in this country illegally. Now, according to this article, according to Yale, the actual immigrant population is about 22 million in this country. And the White House data shows that each new American brings an additional 3.5 family members in via chain migration. That's 77 million people, citizenship, Democrat votes.
Yeah, this is, I've been talking about this for several years. This is the ultimate, this is the way for the Democrats to slam dunk the Republicans. If they're able to make legal the 20 plus million, as they say, people who are here illegally, then that vote will go 90-10, 80-20, at least, for the Democrats from here to forever.
Yeah.
That will permanently put the Republican Party in the minority. So that's the goal of the Democrats, is to do that. Also, you know, if you, and I don't know what the numbers are on what I'm about to say exactly, but because our country's changed. But if you are a person who doesn't believe in borders, you think borders are, I don't know what people would say, inhumane or unfriendly or,
yeah,
I don't know what.
Huh? Well, I mean, I think the Democrats do view strict border control as a problem, as mean, as unjust. I think that's pretty clear.
It's racist.
Yeah, I think that's the way they frame
xenophobic. So if you just don't believe in borders, and it's just y'all come and everybody gets to come into America and there are no consequences to illegal entry.
Right.
The Democrat Party is your party because they agree with you. This is where they're now. They're going to say, "Yeah, but we believe in because Vice President Biden has already said he doesn't believe in detaining anyone." Okay, so if you don't believe in detaining anyone, you believe in giving free health care for anybody who can get here illegally, then you're de facto for no borders.
Right.
Okay, so all I'm saying is I don't know what percentage of Americans are for no borders. It's hard to say. Because if you vote for Joe Biden, that's a pretty big issue, and what you're saying is you agree with the Democrats that there shouldn't be borders. Am I right?
Yeah. I think when you look at the Democrat Party and the people who vote for them, I think easily the vast majority of them believe in some form of open borders. They may not call it open borders, but it's basically
don't believe in detaining people.
No, if you can get across the southern border,
right,
then you're in, because we don't need to send mean police officers to come arrest you.
Well, also, if you're against ICE, the people who enforce our immigration laws and you deport, you're responsible. Okay, the Democrats, a lot of them are for getting rid of ICE.
Yes.
So what the Democrat Party is for is completely gutting our immigration law to prevent people from coming here. That's open borders.
And then they turn around and do what Steve's talking about and put on their campaign website that we want to legalize everyone who's here illegally.
Combine that with sanctuary city policies that we see in California and some other places. So I'm just saying that I don't know. I would be very disappointed to learn that a majority of my fellow Americans were against any borders.
Yeah.
Because if you can't control your borders, you don't really have a country.
Right.
And you talk about caravans coming to the USA. Also, this begs a question to me, Steve. Why do we even need passports anymore?
Well, and in fact, that's where Europe has gone. If you've seen the European Union, when I went to Europe a couple years ago, I presented a passport in Iceland when our plane landed from Denver. And then I didn't need it again until I left Paris. And the only reason I needed it when I left Paris was because it was the day after the Bataclan terror shooting there in Paris. You're absolutely right. But what is the worst thing that you can be called in this country right now? It's racist, right? That's the ultimate scarlet letter, the scarlet R.
Yeah.
That's why you will hear people saying that they don't want borders, because if they say they approve of the wall, they're the R word. Nothing worse in this society right
now. Okay, well, I'm just saying maybe Americans have been dumbed down so much that they're for... They're against border control.
It's what Walker was talking about with the polls. You can ask them on a poll, do they support the border wall or whatever. How many are going to tell the truth that say, you know, I think I'd rather have a country be secure with borders, but I'm not going to say that to any pollster.
Well, I mean, this issue got this amongst some others, but this was one of the main issues in 2016, and it got President Trump in the White House. So now we're talking about the Electoral College. We're talking about swing states and how people feel in those states. But when you're just talking about straight-up majority of people in America, I think you could see a majority that, especially when you add in California and New York, a majority that are in favor of some form of open borders.
Well, don't you either have open borders or not? What do you mean form of?
Well, some different Democrat voters may go to different extremes. Some say, we may need to detain them just to process them, but
nope, that's keeping them in cages.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. At the end of the day, all of these policies combined end up being open borders.
Right. But Steve, you're right. All you got to do is say racist, and people say, "Well, let everybody in then." I don't want to be a racist.
Right.
All right, you're listening to today's issues. You got a minute left, Steve.
Yeah, let me just I love the way President Trump trolls our media and kind of is not shy with his opinion. I want you to hear something from a press conference. This is President Trump talking about getting ripped off by China and that Biden was an accomplice. Listen to cut six.
It's a good time to talk about when we're being ripped off by countries, but nobody's even close to China. Biden cheered China's rise as a great power because great powers adhere to international norms in the areas of non-proliferation, human rights, and trade. Well, they didn't. They took advantage of stupid people. Stupid people. And Biden's a stupid person. You know that. You're not going to write it. But you know that.
That's enough.
The cost of Biden.
He's trolling the press saying, you're not going to write that Biden's stupid, but Biden's a stupid person, is what he said. Man, that guy... no gate, no filter.
Yeah, he puts it out there for better or worse. Which is unlike a lot of people in Washington.
Yes.
Many of them have extreme filters.
So you're saying you know where the president stands?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
All right. Well, thanks for listening today. Thanks, Steve, Fred, Walker, Brent Creeley, our producer. Keep listening to AFR, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.